This is the Topics and Takes podcast with WRALSportsFan.com's Lauren Brownlow and Marilyn Payne. You can download this weekly podcast at WRALSportsFan.com, the WRAL Sports Fan app on iTunes or the Google Play stores, or Saturday mornings at 9 on 99.9 The Fan. Now, here's Topics and Takes with Lauren and Marilyn.
This is Topics and Takes. I am Lauren Brownlow from 99.9 The Fan and WRALSportsFan.com.
And I'm Marilyn Payne from WRALSportsFan.com.
We love the turnover chain. We're obsessed with the turnover chain, I think.
We've given it, so we gave Tuffy like 2 weeks in a row on this podcast,
yeah.
And now the turnover chain gets 2 weeks in a row.
I mean,
how could it not?
I'll be honest with you. I would be okay if we opened every podcast with whatever the latest iteration of said turnover chain is, but I realize that won't last forever. So we had this tweeted at us today, actually shortly before we started recording this podcast. So kudos to you, Joe Molden on Twitter, who found this journalism account out of, I guess, apparently in Miami. I'm not sure if it's the Miami Herald exactly. Yeah, it's the Miami Herald. It's an incentive for headline writing where they have their own turnover chain where they get to wear a bejeweled H, I guess, if you write a good headline. I love this idea. I would like for us to adopt it at WRALSportsFan.com. I don't push my own headline writing as much as I should, I don't think.
What do you mean you don't push it?
I don't do enough, I think, to try to make it clever. I'm trying to write utilitarian headlines. You know what I mean? Like, I'm just trying to get the information out there in the best way possible, as opposed to like writing a grabby headline.
Okay, here's
I don't
the thing.
Push myself in that way like I should.
Headline writing
very hard
has always been my least favorite part of what I do.
Did you take editing at UNC?
Oh, no. We're going way back further before that.
Okay.
I can remember being a sophomore in high school and like sitting in the back of our newspaper newsroom. So we've got like 8 of those dome-shaped Mac computers that are all different colors.
Yeah.
And then 2 that weren't those that you could lay out the newspaper on.
Yeah.
And laying there, like literally, we didn't have enough chairs for our whole staff. So we would lay there and agonize over every single headline of every lead story on a 16-page broadsheet newspaper that we published 3 times a semester. It's always been wildly difficult. That being said,
very.
I would still not be motivated by a headline.
Oh, I would. I would wear that.
I hate writing headlines, and whenever I can have someone, I'm not good at it either. We had this guy Parker in high school, and he was great at it.
It's really hard. It's an art. Like it for real.
It is.
You know how like people get surprised by this when you know they get upset by a headline, right? For like a sports story
an
or any kind of story.
Wrote that. And didn't read the whole story.
Right, but you know why editors usually write the headline?
It's got to fit in the layout.
It has to fit the layout. For one thing, it's hard, too. It's hard to kind of come up. There's a lot of rules for headline writing that you wouldn't even think about. There's like at least when I was in journalism school at UNC, we had to take an editing class to graduate. It was like a 3-hour class.
So I was in the broadcast track, so I got around a lot of those.
Bless you. Yeah.
I know. Thanks to my advisor on that one. MVP.
That class is really hard, but I swear, like, when you hear in the beginning, you're like, oh, a lot of this is going to be headline writing. You're like, oh, easy. No, not at all.
Not easy.
Not easy at all.
Headline writing is very hard.
Yeah.
That being said, Amy Rees is the model in this Miami Herald incentive for good headline writing photo. And she looks great. Like
She looks
like she just wrote the best dang headline that's out there. So hopefully that's working for them.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Like, I don't
I'm just cool with a chain that we can wear.
I'm just not that quippy. Like, I don't know what I could do at work to earn a treat, like a
see, like that's, the, and it's often the last thing we do for our headlines because we usually, by the way, little secret, we usually write our own. At least I usually
write
my own.
We do on our website. Everyone writes their own.
Mm-hmm.
Usually, if we are writing a headline on a story that goes with one of the television stories, we oftentimes have plucked that headline from whatever was on the lower third,
right.
And then added some more words because lower thirds, or that's the graphic that you guys see at the bottom of your screen,
yep,
that goes with the story. They're usually shorter than what headlines we can run.
Yep.
Well, what's crazy, though, is like most of the headlines that are quote unquote good on the internet now are, I'm really getting into the nerdy on this, SEO headlines.
Oh, sure.
Which are headlines have phrases that the internet and like Google search likes.
Yeah.
Almost all of those are journalistically bad headlines.
Yeah,
questions.
It's a very fine line, right?
Questions do really well on SEO. That's also a terrible.
Oh yeah, you're not. That's a flagrant,
egregious error is to put a question in a headline. So you're like, do you want clicks or do you want good journalism? Unfortunately, like, we all know what's
happening.
Having
to write headlines in those classes was so agonizing for me. Like, I'm like, I don't know what to do. I want it to be good, but
yeah, I mean, that still is.
So
like,
it does feel like the ultimate achievement for like
headline H.
I like it. I like the idea, at least. I'm cool with it being a thing because I want to wear a chain.
I love that they have. And it's obviously it's the Miami Herald. So, like, you know, they are just right there. So inspired by the Canes.
Love it. Love it.
We did ask you guys last week on the podcast. We went through options for other teams.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't come up with a lot. What each team's turnover treat on the sideline would be, and asked for some suggestions.
I got this week really cracked me up because I was saying for Florida State, maybe the turnover spear, right? Because, you know, they go plant the spear or whatever before the game.
Oh, I like that. That was so obvious.
I like
how did
it too.
We miss that?
I don't know. I just, you know, you turn it over in your brain a little more, you think of some stuff. But a Florida State fan tweeted at me and they were like, what if the player could ride the horse? And I'm like, I both love and hate this idea because it could lead to a lot of disaster. Like, just take a lap on Cimarron.
It's never going to happen.
No. Well, I guess it's not Cimarron. Cimarron is like the mascot horse, right? So like the real horse. I don't know what his name is, but like everyone gets to take a lap on the horse.
Well, they could do that at Virginia.
Because I'd be like, pass.
You could put on Cavman's hat at UVA.
As we've seen, though, it's even dangerous for Cavman to take a lap on the horse.
I did a story with him one time when I lived in Charlottesville.
Oh, that's awesome.
Spent like several hours with him and his horse. It's a
I love that idea.
Very intense process.
But
That being said, the point of me saying that is like the horse is trained to recognize the different game day paint on the field. So like when they change the end zone, Kim is the man's name who's actually Cavman. Who rides the horse. Kim takes the horse out to the field once the game day paint is set to, you know, whether it's the diamonds that Virginia does in the end zone or if they spell out the traditional.
Yeah, because sometimes it's a different paint or whatever.
Virginia or whatever, just to get the horse close to it. So I imagine Florida State does something similar. So, like, all of that being said.
Can you just imagine some 300-pound defensive lineman
trying to get on that horse? Yeah, you can't just, like, casually put this horse in a different part of the stadium that's packed with fans.
Here you go, dude. Here's the huge defensive lineman going to.
It's never
going
to work, but I love
the horse
thought.
Is like, no.
I love the thought so
we
much.
We actually got a really good suggestion for NC State, and I wish I could remember
Who sent it
now.
And look it up, and
sadly,
I'll just add the caveat of, by the way, I'm scared of horses. So
me too.
If I was on the sideline when
like
they
when
put
people
a player
are like, do you
horse,
want to go horseback riding? I'm like, I do not.
I'm scared of heights. So to get on the horse implies me being higher off the ground than I would like to be. So, you know, I'm not really too into that.
But we got a suggestion of red brick for NC State. Like a, you know, red brick.
Yeah,
I mean, that's very quintessential. Yeah, it's from Juan on Twitter. I cannot pronounce his last name, so I'm not going to try. Orozco, maybe? That sounds right.
Sure. Great job, Juan.
He suggested three, actually, for all the local teams. For Duke, a trident. Don't hate it. Don't hate it.
Very spear-esque.
Right. But definitely something the devil carries around. So,
oh, for sure.
The blue devil, not the actual devil, although
both.
Who knows. For Carolina, ram horns. You know, like a blue ram horns. Not the worst idea. I'm warm to it. I'm warm.
I the only reason I hesitate there is because it could so quickly be swapped with the Duke Blue Devil horns, which is what we'd actually suggested.
Yeah,
I mean, I understand the devil horns are like 2 inches tall,
and the ones would
the ram
curled
horns
or whatever.
Would curl. Mm-hmm. I actually have a great photo of me and ram horns from when I was a student, which I'm now inspired to look up. But the best suggestion's the state suggestion.
Yeah, he said, "What's more state than a red brick?" Great question. That's a perfect one, I think, for NC State. And I think, because I actually got approached on my way into the State Clemson game by a couple people talking about our podcast. And one guy just was like, he's like, Maryland is right. Like, they will make fun of anything.
Hair flip. Sorry.
He was like, they'll make fun of anything we do, you know, like that's in regards to agriculture. And I'm like, yeah, which is really dumb, but that's whatever. Because, you know, obviously we all need food. We covered this last week. We all need food, but yeah, it's funny that state makes food. Okay, well, don't eat anything off a farm then. See how long you last.
It just eliminates the options of any turnover mascot that has to do with the agriculture
farming
aspects.
Yeah, and it's still very state. So I really love that red brick idea. And they could just sort of, you know, hold it up.
I think the best part is we know that there's one that already exists, and it's Juan also sent us, or someone else perhaps chimed in on this, the one that gets held up at basketball games behind the goal when they shoot free
throws. It's already there. Just let them hold it up.
You just send it over to the football team and put it on the sidelines. I also like it because I feel like brick it's a good quality to associate with a defense.
Definitely.
So that is like a nice little added bonus.
Like a brick wall. I love it.
I'm glad that I'm here for it. Solved that problem. Thank you, Juan, MVP of the week already. And it's just 10 minutes into this podcast.
I know. He replaces my MVP actually going into this, which would have been Joey Galloway from the College Football Playoff selection show.
Oh, yeah? You might be the only one.
Well, I know. We'll get to that later. I know he called UNC's game last night. But from
not
the college
a lot of
football,
love for him in that game Thursday night.
From the College Football selection show specific selection. Why do I keep calling it a selection show? No one's being selected. The ranking show. Ugh. The top 25 unveiling each week. I sort of live blog this for WRLSportsFan.com. And having done this, I used to do it just to make fun of it. And I still make fun of it some because it's pretty silly at times. But Joey is someone on that show that is increasingly like all of us, in my opinion. Like just the looks on his face when say some of these things. Like, what did he say? Like Booger McFarland. Just don't even get me started on the whole grown man being named Booger thing, but it's fine. Booger McFarland, who was also calling UNC's game, by the way.
Come to find out he wasn't born a grown man.
Right. He said he was saying that Ohio State is not yet dead. And the look on Joey's face, and by the way, Joey's been known to be kind of a Big Ten homer, but he was just not having it. And basically he's like, you know, they still got to play Michigan. He goes, Michigan isn't even ranked. Like he was just, his like horrified reactions to things was basically like almost my exact reaction to half of the things that were being said, you know, at the time. And I was just like, wow, Joey and I are the same person. I don't know what to make of this.
Don't try and call a football game is maybe what you take.
He made fun of Reese Davis in the opener because every week Reese is like, we've never seen these rankings before. I just want to make this clear. And he's like, you didn't get your copy? And I'm like, yes, Joey, yes.
Oh, but I like Reese Davis is one of my
Reese is great.
Favorite,
Reese is so,
not
so
my
good.
Absolute favorite.
I was actually a little, because I do this so much. I'm used to like, Reese usually does a little monologue leading in. I was a little disappointed. It didn't have the gravitas that it did in week one, but he's still got plenty of weeks to go.
Joey was being mean.
Clearly, right? But yeah, so I've enjoyed that show. But one thing that stuck out to me watching that show, and I brought it up to you the other day, Marilyn, actually, is it was, I believe, David Pollack saying that one of his favorite things about college football is, and the system a little bit, is that other teams have to root for teams that they wouldn't ordinarily root for. And I think that's interesting in a sense because, you know, around here we have plenty of rivalries, right, in basketball and football. And the idea of having to root for a rival in any sense is almost like inconceivable, right? But we see some of that in college football, and I can see how it would be a fun aspect. I can also see how it would have its downside. I think it's an interesting, because when I first heard that, I'm like, I don't know, man. Is it good? I don't know. What do you think?
Full disclosure, you could give me almost anything Pollack said, and I'm probably going to agree with it. Just because
so he's your Joey Galloway?
No, I just have a huge crush on him.
Oh. Okay. Excuse me.
Which I understand is like, it's perhaps inappropriate given that he's married and significantly out of my age range, but he just, I don't know. I just think he's the cutest. I love every segment that he does. This is embarrassing.
It's all right.
Nonetheless, I actually, person who made statement removed from this, I agree with this. It's part of the reason that I like football season so much. And football kind of culture is because you have this build up, you have the structure of game day Saturday. Yeah, we got a Friday and a Thursday one now these days too, but it's everyone collectively stops to watch games, not only for the game, but who is going to do what to which team and how will that affect the remaining schedule for the team that I'm pulling for. So even in the instances where your rival doesn't have, like we'll take NC State, Clemson, just finished.
Mm-hmm.
Well, NC State just finished all it can do in that situation. So now NC State fans and certainly the team, once they finish up at Boston College, will watch Clemson, Florida State eagerly hoping for the Noles to put Clemson in a position to have more ACC losses. Mm-hmm. Even when that's not the case, though, State, when it is atop the ACC along with Clemson, they're watching what's Clemson doing? You know, and they're not going to admit that, perhaps, with the readiness that they, you know, we believe they might have.
Oh, I've seen state fans jokingly saying my Noles this week.
I mean, yeah, hey.
My Seminoles. Talking about the Noles, hashtag.
I talk with Matt Merletti, Brandon Bishop, and Dave Harding every week. And last year, Taylor Vipolis is who was giving me Carolina analysis. And the week after North Carolina lost to Virginia Tech, VT turned around and played Duke, and we ended that video on North Carolina fans, you're pulling for Duke this week. And it's football, so saying that doesn't necessarily have the same weight as if it was basketball when it put us in that position. But the structure of the schedule, and I think just the fact that there are only as many games as there are, kind of amplifies the suspense when you watch a team play a team that matters, or when you watch a team that matters play. I mean, I totally think it's what's funny, because, you know, NC State fans and Clemson fans can bond over the fact, you know, that that they've probably pulled for a loss for another team at a point.
Mm-hmm.
But this week they're bonding with Noles fans who they beat in Tallahassee earlier this year. Don't think they liked him too much then.
I'll say this. What's interesting to me is I do like the idea that fans are put in like almost an uncomfortable situation of like, oh God, I have to root for Duke this week as a Carolina. That's
you're
fun.
Not like, man, I'm really going to embrace this opportunity to love a team that's
not
mine.
I like the fact that it makes them uncomfortable in that way. Like, it's kind of fun. For instance, the SEC culture for a while of like riding the coattails of your one good team and like SEC pride and whatever, even if you're a garbage SEC team.
Right.
That's always kind of annoying me. But then also there's this aspect to it where if a rivalry is so clean and pure, there's something really cool to me about like, even if it's in your team's interest, you just still can't bring yourself to do it. Like,
yeah, there are definitely folks who do that.
Yeah, and I like that part of it, too. Like, to me, it can sort of detract from those rivalries, like, in that way. The ones that are really, really good, anyway. Like, the ones that are like, hey, we don't like Team X, but we'll begrudgingly root for them is whatever, right? Mm-hmm. But, like, Alabama-Auburn.
That's what I was going to say. I was going to say Bama-Auburn as well.
You know, for me, like, if they're ever like, oh, I want to root for this team because of our interests, I'm like, that's not a rivalry. That's not what that is. No. You root against that team at all costs,
to me,
right?
It's not I want to root to this for this team because of our interests.
I find the psychology of it.
I'm going to root for this team because the want and will do are two. I mean, those are like wildly divided. That being said,
like, is Bama rooting for Auburn this week? You know, I guess maybe not.
I don't think Bama has to root for anybody.
They really don't.
You're going to win every dang game you play.
Yeah, you are.
But on the flip side of that, I think there are probably some teams out in the SEC that would love to see Bama just take an L. Yeah. Doesn't matter who it's to.
Of course they would. Yeah.
Mississippi, you might pull for Mississippi State.
Yeah.
If they beat Bama, you're going to love them for it. Just to, quiet the Bama fans.
There's no... it's
never going to... It's just never going to happen. But there's like a thought there of like, they did something that, you know, the SEC right now is just in such a tough position with...
Yep.
You know, the record of coaches versus Bama is 2-something.
But they still want to get that money, right? So they got to root for Bama to get that money.
Right. I mean, but at the same time, like, the SEC and all of its fan bases and all of its athletic directors are in such a tough position because it's what are your expectations for a team? Pretty much every AD or coach in America is going to say, go out, win the conference title, at least win our division.
It's not good enough for SEC teams to say, like, oh, we're cool with losing to Bama. Like, those fan bases aren't cool with that.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So, like, all of those teams probably in some facet would tip their hat, nod toward their rival or anyone else finally giving them that L.
Or it'd be like, hey, why didn't we do that?
Yeah, and then...
Let's fire our
coach. That's what... Thank you for saying that, because the second half of this is, well, I'm mad you guys got to do that and we didn't.
Right.
Or, and this one's one that my dad introduced me to when I was growing up, you get mad at your rival when they didn't handle your business, even though you didn't handle your business either.
Like UNC and Duke. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right. Like
thanks a lot,
like,
guys.
Duke. We needed you to beat Virginia Tech, and you did it, and now we're angry about it. It's like, wait a minute.
You beat Carolina, and it's like, you could have just beaten them.
Right. So that's kind of the funniest part to me about this is you have the opportunity as a fan to be like, all right, rival, you get one opportunity to do something to make me not hate you. And then if they don't do that, it's like 16 times worse, even though you wouldn't have cared anyway if your team had just won its games.
I know.
No, I love it. I love the point. I think it's really fun because the psychology behind all of these accusations.
It's very interesting.
It's just
sure.
funny.
That's one reason why college football greater than sign NFL. But yeah, at least for me.
Oh my gosh. I don't know that I ever knew that you felt that way.
Well, I mean.
Just because you like the Panthers so much. Okay.
But I don't watch anybody else. Like, I try to watch these other games and I'm like, yeah, I'm good. I can't.
I feel like we just bonded.
Oh, good.
I mean, we've done that before, but I love college football and I didn't know you liked it.
Well, there's just so many more interesting aspects to it. The fans, for sure, are definitely way more interesting and, to me, intelligent. But that's neither here nor
there. Also, tradition, you know, the Colts didn't used to, you know, they used to be in a different city.
Mm-hmm.
And
Browns fans
have tradition,
and look at them. It means
Texas didn't.
Right. Well, speaking of rivalries, though, NC State and Clemson, that's a thing? Is that a thing? Is this a rivalry now? Is it just a coach rivalry?
No. It's definitely not a coach rivalry.
No?
Because Doran handled it well.
Yeah, I mean,
because
in the end,
Dabo,
probably. Yeah.
First of all, Dabo Sweeney.
Dabo, yeah. Well,
killed it with the response on Monday to the accusation. Okay, in case you guys really missed it, I don't know how you could have possibly, but
it's like a throwaway line at the.
No, it was not throwaway.
Well, kind of, because no one asked him about that. It was in response to a question about officiating.
Okay, yeah. So in the question, to give credit to the way the question was asked, Joe Giglio asked the question, said, do you wish there was more consistency in officiating?
Sure.
Not, do you think the game got called like crap, or did you love what you got? But do you wish there was a way for things to be more consistent? Doran answers that question with, like, yes, obviously. And then says, like, no, but you know what I want to know? Why Clemson had a laptop on its sideline? Because I've been told that it's illegal to have laptops on your sideline. And respect to helping coach football games, it is.
Yes, it is. In respect to coaching, yes.
And
that's, by the way, that's a rule that Doran has, that's been up before the, I mean, he's not the only one, obviously, or else it would have passed, but that's a rule that Doran has consistently, I think, voted against changing in terms of, like, adding technology. And there's definitely that argument to be had. That's a whole separate case, but he does not want to change that rule in terms of having technology on the sideline, which is totally fine. And yes, from a coaching perspective, it is indeed illegal, but I literally, when he brought it up, I'm cringing and I'm like in slow-mo, I'm like, no, Dave, no.
And I think a lot of folks perhaps felt similarly, and maybe that's why.
Mm-hmm.
That's so. Just so you guys understand the way that I do my job, my psyche Saturday night after Clemson beat NC State was not, let me follow up on Doran's accusations about a laptop.
No,
it was,
we did not.
Let me
do that.
Ask him what his football team is going to do now.
Yeah,
that its biggest goal of the season is no longer in its control.
Right.
So those are the questions that I asked Dave Doran after the game.
Yep.
I don't feel bad that I didn't follow up about the laptop.
No, you shouldn't.
And I think
it wasn't necessary.
I maybe wasn't cringing as hard as you were.
Cause like,
but I was like, I'm not going to.
Because we knew this would be a thing and it was.
Yeah. Well, yeah. But here's the thing. After WikiLeaks happened last year, I believe that scenario put every coach, regardless of level, head coach,
for sure. There's
associate,
been much increased paranoia across all of college
not
football.
Not just paranoia, because I think coaches are generally a little bit of that.
For sure.
But they pay attention to their gut more now. So
yeah, I can see
that. You give a little bit more mind to the things that you see, the things that you feel, and the moments that you're like, that was a little bit weird.
Mm-hmm.
How did that happen?
And he's already upset, and I totally get that. Like, he's obviously already upset and disappointed and frustrated, and so it's totally understandable why he would have reacted to it. I still think he should have handled it.
Yeah, I think
behind closed
doors. Handle that privately.
And if it had gotten out somehow, if it had like leaked out that he had, you know, sent something to the league about it and people were making fun of them, I would have defended him completely and just said, this is ridiculous. Like, he has every right to ask about this.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that he brought it up in that context was not the best look. It is what it is. Like, he did it, you know. He says he doesn't want it back. I hope he actually does, but it's fine. He has to stand by it now. I mean, what else is he going to do?
I mean, I don't think you need to want it back. It wasn't that big of a deal. Here's
I mean, he basically
thing.
Accused
he
them
said,
of, like,
no, he
potentially
said, I
cheating.
Want it looked at.
Right.
And I'll... Again, I don't think he necessarily should have said it,
right.
But I do think that he
the
said it.
The impulse to look at it is nothing wrong with that, in my opinion, at all.
Nothing else
I'm
was said about it.
Right. It wasn't even said on Monday. Like, he didn't say anything and
right.
he wasn't asked.
He didn't mention it. Dabo Sweeney was awesome at the beginning of the week, the way that he addressed it. Yeah. I thought it was perfect.
And I totally understand where he's coming from. Because,
absolutely.
You
but
know,
he didn't, my favorite thing is that he didn't give it that much gravitas.
Right, no.
He did address it, but
I mean,
he also
and you could tell he was upset
it.
By it. But you could tell he was annoyed by it because I don't
annoyed.
Think he liked the accusation that,
of course
you know,
don't.
There was something nefarious. And I think he probably would have preferred that, you know, someone just asked, you know, as opposed to like putting that out there like that.
Yeah.
I get that too. So that's totally, I mean, I think everybody's impulse at least was understandable. And then Dave said something about dropping a towel with the drones or whatever.
Well, I did think that that was the best
was
part
funny.
Of that.
That was great. I was like, okay, good. Let's just put this to bed and it's over.
Because
like,
Bradley Chubb.
Let's all exchange jokes. Yeah.
Who he is was stealing Kelly Bryant's towels in the game.
So weird.
So Dabo
Bradley
said that they were looking for some Amazon towels to be droned and dropped into the stadium to save them.
Yeah.
Which leads me to, can we dedicate another moment to Bradley Chubb and his shenanigans?
I must appreciate
this every time he does something.
And I had people tweeting me and they were like, oh, he's about to get a personal foul. I'm like, no, he's not. And apparently he had been
warned.
Warning.
And then he didn't do it again.
Yeah, he didn't do it again. So that's all good. Yeah,
and that's why it's great.
It was just funny to me. It was very funny.
It is. It's funny.
He's provided some of the funniest moments of the season so far.
You got a tough, good, you know, likely first round draft pick.
And like Clemson fans that are upset about that.
And a rookie freshman quarterback.
Do we need to revisit what Ben Bulwer did to a dude on the field and y'all chalk that up to be funny? Like, let's not. This is just taking a towel as opposed to.
It was just, I thought it was funny.
It was funny.
Nonetheless, now NC State has to play Boston College on Saturday, a weirder rivalry of odd sorts, if that.
Yeah, Boston College is, I believe, if I have this right, I think like 8-2 or 8-4? Okay, 8-4 against NC State since joining the league. And they haven't always had Matt Ryan. So during that stretch, by the way, but this is some bad Boston College teams that have.
I mean, last season, Boston College,
that was
the 13th game, I think,
ACC
losing
streak
at NC State.
Yep.
Well, it's that recent.
I will say this, okay? And Joe Giglio had said this as well, and so I now feel somewhat validated that my hunch was this. Like, the fact that Boston College is coming into this game having been playing much better and, like, looking really good, I think bodes well for NC State, which I know, like, sounds completely ridiculous, but I think, like, this game has generally been, like, the one that Boston College, like, finds itself in, you know, and, like, wakes up a little bit. Like, Boston College went on a winning streak last year and made a bowl, you know? Like, that
People
game
forget.
Sort of spring-forwarded
People,
them.
Including me, forget.
Yeah, I had forgotten as well, but they did. They made a bowl somehow. Remember, they beat Maryland in it.
Yes, I do remember that.
Who could
Which
forget?
Which totally killed my plan to send Boston College out and bring Maryland
right.
back in.
So, you know, I mean, they...
That was the bowl. That's what that whole game was
Since they've already found themselves, I like this NC State team. I like their fight. I think that they had a lot of moments in that Clemson game where they could have sort of emotionally packed it in. I think they had a lot of moments in the South Carolina game even that they lost that they could have sort of emotionally packed it in. And they never did. They just continued to fight. And I know that this sounds like I'm patting them on the head. I'm not. Like, I just, you know, we watch a lot of teams and we watch some teams sort of almost emotionally pack it in. And they don't do that. And I respect that about them. And that's why they had a chance to win the game. Like, or tie the game. But whatever. You know, that's why they had a chance, because they never stopped fighting. And I think that we are.
Here, let me say this.
Dismissing them if we just assume that they're going to mentally not be there. I think that they will mentally be there.
I want to draw a distinction, and it's something that I've probably said, and mm-hmm. If you guys want to say, but you say it too. Yeah, of course.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just that they, you know, quote unquote, don't stop fighting. It's that they don't quit playing.
Right.
Because Clemson's third quarter against NC State was a terrible third quarter
yep.
for NC State. And
they also had a bad third quarter against South Carolina in that game, too.
Right.
Yeah.
I was going to say, third quarters have not, I don't know the stats,
Maybe
but they've not
something
been.
Something about the South Carolina schools. I don't know.
Not been kind to NC State this season. Fourth quarter, they go tempo. They have I think that's the trick play drive.
Mm-hmm.
They direct snap the ball to Jalen Samuels, and they quick strike back in the football game, start the fourth quarter. And it's just, I think that even the, you know, the design of that drive is not just a fight thing, because NC State's, you know, they're not down. Like, it's just you got to keep playing your football game, and game was called well.
Right.
And
it was a gut
players
punch.
Executed.
The 89-yard touchdown was a gut punch, for sure. But
they
just bounced
gap.
Right back.
Misaligned gap. You get gouged.
Yeah, but they bounced right back. And, I, you know, again, not for nothing, but I just think that it's not fair to them to prescribe past NC State history mm-hmm. to this team.
It's not, and I think that's why I wanted to draw the distinction mm-hmm. in playing and fighting, because with the conversations we've had with guys in years past and the in instances youth or lack of mm-hmm. proven ability have required fight. NC State is good enough, mature enough, experienced enough, and has played enough to understand that if it just keeps playing,
right.
it's going to, I think, beat teams that are better football, that it is a better football team than.
Right.
And shocker, and Clemson's probably still a better football team than NC State.
And
even
same with Notre
close.
Dame. Like, they're better football teams.
So it's, yeah, so to me,
that's okay. They're
like,
better than most
it's
teams.
It's not like you really had to fight to win. It's like, no, you just play your game and you contend closely because yeah. that's where
I
these
mean,
two teams are.
It's been a tough couple weeks for NC State, for sure. But
look at the schedule. It was never yeah. going to be easy.
Right.
And it didn't go, like, just wildly bad. There but was no, as
I think
you would
that
say,
they've got
NC
enough
State
stuff. I think they've got enough evidence. I hope they do anyway for their sake to know that they're good and that they don't, you know, but I hope there's no self-doubt creeping in.
I definitely know.
You know, like if they don't have that, they'll take care of business. Even though Boston College certainly, you know,
not as bad as we thought,
not a disaster. So good for them. Although Harold Landry might not play, disappointing.
Wow,
I love
that
Harold
keeps
Landry.
Happening.
I know,
and it's sad.
I know. I love Harold Landry. I mean, speaking of teams that don't stop fighting.
This is a team that had to fight.
Wow.
Yeah, that's a great transition. Go ahead.
Oh, North Carolina, you did it. You got the ACCW.
They got the ACCW.
Is it bad that I was slightly disappointed that I got a number of Carolina fans tweeting at me, stop, when I tweeted this, but that Larry didn't get Gatorade bath after the win? No? It was pretty
okay,
cold in Pittsburgh.
To me. If he was like a first season head coach.
I know.
And, you know, this was his true roster and they just had that bad of a season.
Yeah, maybe. You can
then
see
you
it.
Can Gatorade him there. But
I
he's
don't know,
been
though.
In Carolina for years. They've won the Coastal Division titles since
right.
he's been there.
This
is not like a.
I just, you know.
I mean, they got like, whatever, 24. I can't even count any higher. I mean, I think 24.
I think they were at 21.
Plus, Chaz Surratt, yeah. still don't know where the heck he was.
Mm. Yeah.
Not on an injury report and not in a jersey that anyone can account for.
No, I don't think
so. To me
so.
At this point. I don't even know if he traveled.
I'm not sure. I thought I remembered seeing a shot of him on the sideline, but I can't swear to it. Either way, he wasn't playing, so.
Yeah, I mean, so it's just kind of like you got maybe 25 guys who you thought would be playing and contributing significant minutes not in there. I mm-hmm. still don't think you Gatorade bath the head coach.
Yeah. But they, I mean, look,
act like you've been there before. They've never lost to Pitt since Pitt joined the league. You don't Gatorade bath coach Fedora.
Speaking
what?
Of fans that think they're cursed, like those fans are like, are you serious? If you can't beat this Carolina team, which Carolina team you beaten?
That I'll hear out.
Pat Narduzzi, man.
I mean,
not you know, I don't know.
North Carolina looked pretty good.
Look, Nathan Elliott, he's I don't know the words to describe Nathan Elliott. Like he's. I really can't think of the word. Spunky?
The most
he's
competent
spunky.
Quarterback seemingly at North Carolina.
Well,
right now.
You know, I think the point has been made, and it's not a bad one, that he's got the most experience in this offense. Like,
yeah,
he knows
I'm
it
not,
the best.
That's why I said competent. Like,
Yeah.
I didn't say he was the best passer. Didn't say he was the best quarterback.
Yeah, sometimes his throwing motion, I'm like, what is that?
He's the most competent.
And
he knows the offense.
And he at this point anyway, he is clearly not afraid. Like, he's, you know. And he makes some plays. Like, you just go, huh. Good
I
job.
Like it. I totally yeah. dig what's happening with
Anthony
that.
Ratliff Williams was like, I'm not taking an L today. Basically. Like, the kickoff return for touchdown, and then
that
what?
Was Ryan Switzer somewhere is very
P.S.
happy. I haven't
like,
checked his Twitter yet,
I was
but
like,
I'm sure he was thrilled.
I was rushing to, well, and Pitt fans, by the way, call it the Switzer curse. So they thought they would be free of Switzer. And thus, like,
oh, yeah,
UNC.
Because of his ties to the area.
Exactly. Because of his West Virginia roots and not liking Pitt as a result of that. But,
right.
yeah, it was not enough to free Switzer or free them from the Switzer curse. But, yeah, Anthony Ratliff Williams, he scores that touchdown. I'm like, by the way, I'm like trying to get my kid to bed so that I can get down there for that 7:30 start. You know how Larry Fedora always used to joke, like, oh, if you get up, you'll miss a touchdown. Like, I missed the touchdown. And I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, the one time this year that literally this was true. I missed the touchdown.
You and your child are 0-2 in predictions
Man.
When it comes to North Carolina football.
Apparently.
This is in the last
like,
7 days.
I'm like, okay, kid, let's go to bed. And I go down there, and it's 20 seconds in and there's already a touchdown. I'm like, when did this happen? Come on.
On the opening kickoff.
But yeah, I mean, look, does it mean anything for UNC? I don't know. Look, I'm impressed with what they've done because they, speaking of teams that could have packed it in, they certainly could have packed it in.
That's where when you brought us from NC State to North Carolina with fight.
For sure.
North Carolina is not a team that simply could have just continued to play and that have been enough to beat a team.
They have to give all they got.
They have had to fight and continue to learn as they've gone and believe that they could. Like, mm-hmm. The psyche there, I think, is wildly important.
For sure.
Just because you've got guys who many would never be playing as much as they are right now.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, going against true experienced first team ACC, you know, first mm-hmm. on the depth chart ACC football teams.
Yep.
That's just, you're playing from behind. You're playing from less experienced, less talented.
Yeah, you're at a deficit for sure.
It's that involves the mental fight, I believe, at a greater
You know, Larry
level.
Fedora, I think, deserves credit for that.
For sure. That's the only way to finish that.
I think what he's been able to do as well is sort of, you know, maybe because Elliott knows this offense as well as he does, is you get the sense now that the plays are at least being called to accentuate more of the strengths of what he currently has on the roster, if that makes sense.
It does. Yeah. I mean, you've got a guy who, and I mean, truly, we don't know how much Surratt and Harris knew truly or didn't mm-hmm. know the playbook.
Sure.
But you got a guy with a year of it.
Mm-hmm.
You're building off a foundation of just comfort that isn't in the other
guys.
For
sure.
You ask, like, what does it do for North Carolina? And, like, we kind of shrug. We're not really sure. Hopefully now that no one thinks they're going to lose to Western Carolina.
I do not think that
Saturday.
Anymore. No.
And there were folks who thought it might happen before.
Hey, raise his hand.
So, like, I don't know, maybe 20 more people show up to watch that game in Keenan, which makes the total attendance 120 as opposed to 100. When players play football games or basketball games mm-hmm. or baseball games, lacrosse, I don't know, pick one. They play to win. And so this is a group of guys who got to win a football game. And I just think that it may be as simple as, well, dang it, it's the difference in probably going 1-whatever.
Yeah,
and maybe 3-something. It seriously is the difference between this team maybe not getting a win mm-hmm. between ODU, which is what, second weekend,
September.
Third weekend in September, and next September, first, second, third.
I saw this was their first, like,
and it
yesterday
being like
was their
a
first lead
month
since
thing.
Then. That's what someone was.
Yeah, I mean, just.
That's not right, though, because they led Miami, but whatever.
You can put the context on it.
For sure.
Of, well, it helps them in this way in the future, and it helps them in that way in the future.
Yeah, they just want to win a game.
These players just want a football game.
Yeah.
And that's what they go out there to do.
I do want to give a shout out.
That's what it did for them. It let them have a win.
Before we move on to, I do want to shout out Larry Fedora because, you know, you see, like, for instance, Carolina and FSU have the worst records in the league, right?
Mm-hmm.
One of the coaches like, hey, you know, what do we have to lose? Right? He'll run trick plays. He tries. He takes risks. Goes for it on fourth down. The other one coaches like a bomb might explode at any moment. And he has a $17 million buyout. So shout out to Larry Fedora for not being a coward. I just want to throw that out there.
Well, I hope you didn't need to see 5 years of him to know that he was not a coward.
Well, but, like, I respect that because, you know, there is that aspect out there where you don't want to lose worse, you know, you don't want to take chances. But Larry's never been afraid of that, and he's been consistent with that, and I respect that.
Yeah, I love it.
I mean, respect that.
I agree with you. I just am not surprised by it in any
capacity that's fair.
Whatsoever.
I mean, it definitely is consistent with who he's been throughout his time at
UNC. And what he says, to be fair.
Yeah. Absolutely. So, shout out to you for that, Larry.
But out of way, Larry.
Oh, and now we got Duke. Oh, boy.
I'm sure he really appreciates our condolences. Or not condolences.
Or his shout out.
The opposite of that.
Well, now that we have validated his coaching.
Right.
He's
I
good.
Mean, literally.
He's good.
Like,
there's nothing left for him. There's no accomplishment left out there for Larry. You have the Lauren and Marilyn stamp
said,
of approval.
That being said, Sydney Fedora was the first person to favorite my tweet post-game last night. Sydney's great. If y'all don't follow her on Twitter, you should. She's very funny. So maybe she'll pass along our support of her dad's ballsiness.
There you go.
Like his mascot. Yeah, okay,
just
I have to do
the mascot.
I'm done now.
And they had Duke.
I'm done now again.
Duke's back to football after a week of not having football. No. So, I will say this because we don't need to touch on Duke too much because it's kind of sad.
They should just be better than they are.
They should be better, and I want to yell at them. I saw a story this week. I've seen reports out of Durham that they spent a lot of their bye week really preparing for that option. They're going to see it this week in Navy. Although, as you pointed out when we talked before the show, I don't know that there's much of an option if you're not really throwing. It's you run or someone else runs, right? Like, there's no...
Yeah, I mean, it's...
Ahmad Bradshaw, the QB, runs or someone else runs. Like, there's no third option.
The way that Coach Cutcliffe kind of explained the option
there's very
at Army
rarely a third
is
option.
That there are multiple options. All of them are how will this team run the football?
Like, Army beat Air Force last week without attempting a pass, which...
It's amazing.
It is in this day and age of college football. Like, it's pretty crazy. But yeah, so I saw that Duke was spending a lot of time on this. They even like scrimmaged against it and everything else because they're also getting Georgia Tech next week. So I understand that they want to put in some prep for this. My concern is their defense isn't the problem. Like, I know your defense needs to prep for this, and I totally get that because it's unconventional. You don't see it. But I hope that they spent a lot of time on their offense because that's the problem right now. Like, I noted this early in the UNC Pitt game. A few weeks ago, this is a Duke team that couldn't score on this Pitt defense. UNC is like moving the ball, not consistently, but they're able to move it and mount some drives. You know what I mean? Like, they're able to score points on Pitt, something that Duke could not do against a bad Pitt defense. Like, Army has a bad defense. Is Duke going to be able to score on it? I don't know, because they haven't scored on people. Like, they get in the red zone and they're like, I don't know what to do. So for me, I was a little concerned about that because I'm like, you need to be worrying about your offense right now against anybody.
My counter to that... And I guess maybe, I don't know if you missed this or if you just didn't see it as being as monumental as Coach Cutcliffe seemed that it was. Mm-hmm. So this is something he said. It's not the first time he's ever done it in his career.
Oh, for sure.
But he can't remember ever having done this at Duke.
Right.
I did see that recently. He put the entire offense into a room to watch the Virginia Tech game film.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
As opposed to typically how this
like a
football
QB
team
room or,
yeah, and most football teams, I would say probably all, watch film
with position groups
as an O-line with the running backs, mm-hmm. tight ends, wide receivers, QB. And Cutcliffe felt that happening was allowing his guys to continue to get frustrated, not with themselves, but with what their teammates in other positions were doing wrong.
That's good.
He thought that there was enough frustration after losing five games in a row that much of what his players on the offense were prone to do at this point in the season is point fingers at other folks' mistakes. And he said putting them together in one room mm-hmm. to watch every single error that you make, because if you open your mouth about what your neighbor's doing or what your
sure.
running back's doing if you're on the O-line, they're going to turn around and look at you and say, yeah, but look at the block I didn't have.
Right.
Or the hole you didn't create for me, whatever it is.
And it's not just one thing with
you,
for sure.
And that's why I say, like, you know, I'm making up scenarios here.
No, I get it. Yeah, because I think that makes a lot of sense, though.
He felt like every single guy on mm-hmm. the offense had enough, you know, where they just needed to stop kind of griping and complaining about
sure.
what somebody else on the team is doing wrong and stop and look at themselves.
I'm
and I'm not saying they were complaining to their coach a lot. He's just a veteran coach who understands what players' tendencies are
right.
when you get in this position in the season. So I think that's how he addressed the offense.
Okay.
A lot of just look at what you're doing.
I like that then. I mean, I think that can be good. And I think, you know, it's a good thing because, like I said, on any given play for them, you could point the finger at several different guys. I think it's fair to say.
And the problem that he felt he had was that everybody was pointing at everyone
at someone else
as opposed to fixing their own mistakes.
All right, good. I'm slightly encouraged by this.
So we'll see if that actually ends up having any impact. This team does understand that you're not going to get the ball a lot. Army's going to give you maybe seven possessions, I think, is what somebody had a week or two
that's
ago.
That's about right. And probably about what they'll get against Georgia Tech as well.
You have to score.
Yep.
You have to score every time you get the football. Is the mindset that he instilled in his offense this week. So I don't know that it'll end up paying the dividends that he hopes it will, but that was kind of the offensive side of things.
That's good.
Over at Duke. He did also remind his guys, Alonzo Saxton, the second junior, said something about how they don't pass the ball to the press conference, and then someone repeated that to Cut. This is what we can end on with Duke. And he goes, well, I don't know what film he's been watching, but I'm going to have to remind him that they, in fact, might, and don't get mesmerized by them running the ball down your throat and get beat over the top with a quick strike play for a touchdown. So I imagine he did, in fact, remind his defense of that after that conversation.
That's good and relevant and factual. But it is still, at least it's basketball season in Durham, right?
I mean, and everywhere.
Jinx. No, I'm,
wow.
We don't. So we record this on Friday afternoon. Just as we've revealed here before, it's not a secret. But obviously, we are recording this before Friday night's college basketball season opening games in the Triangle and elsewhere. So, if anything ridiculous happened, we are not yet aware of it. And really, I mean, we were sort of talking about this before the show. We only want to kind of tangentially mention basketball at this point anyway, because it's so early. No one's really playing anyone of note. And I don't know, there's not even really much to glean right now. So, but we do want to acknowledge that it is happening and we are aware of it.
Yeah, it's a basketball is here and state opened now that this is public.
Right.
With VMI, Duke with Elon.
UNC with Northern Iowa.
Yeah, and so it's just kind of one of those things where...
Yeah, we didn't see
it yet. The freshmen need to get experiences.
Yeah,
I mean, the freshmen need to get experience.
Yeah.
Carolina's bigs need to figure out who's going to rebound.
We'll see a lot of lineups we won't see later.
Yeah.
Especially in Duke's case, because this is the time of year where he plays people.
It's so funny how
we're gonna have a platoon. No, we're not going to. We're not gonna have a platoon. We will never have a platoon. Please stop saying it. Not that he's saying it, but sometimes we get that even with like Duke. Oh, they're gonna rotate. No, they're not gonna rotate these guys. That's not what Kay does. Like, that's like saying Roy's going to go slow down. He's never going to do that.
They did it once. It is how I think Duke beat either Virginia or Wake Forest.
Maybe Wake.
Once, yeah, and it worked. Yeah. And people, that's
well,
the
they
last
did it.
Time
He's
I
He's done it in the beginning of the season before.
No, that's why I say an ACC team.
Right,
AC,
yeah, yeah,
and
for
like
sure.
2013.
Yeah.
And that's the last time I remember people being like, it's going to happen.
I've just, like, I've seen it so much and been sucked into it and been like, oh, they're going. No, they're not. They're not going to. They're not. So, but
I mean,
if they do.
I wrote a story about it.
No, I've written it before,
it worked,
too.
But it wasn't
He's
like
very
futuristic.
Convincing.
No, I didn't write it like that. I was like, this is what they did, and it worked.
Right. But I've done it before where I'm like, this is the thing they're going to do. And then it's like, they're not. And then it's like, I've learned enough
You've
now.
You've baited into it.
They're not.
All right.
No. It is not a thing that's going to happen. But if they do, I guess we'll have to say we got it wrong.
I think one of the, I've got a note, just so y'all know, I've got a notes list on my phone
of
all the things that we say that are like, this might not age well, because we know at this point. Quickly, last thing I want to say about state's basketball introduction. Coach Keats is officially the first head coach now at the PAC, and I'm personally very interested in seeing, and maybe more than anything else, like Duke's going to be bigger than normal. Carolina's going to be smaller than normal. Play more guards likely. Duke, it's like they kind of like reversed maybe what their offenses in some instances might look like because of the sizes that they're situated with. State, Coach Keats plays four guard system pretty much, but he's got these bigs that he is swearing up and down to utilizing.
So and good.
Yeah, and why wouldn't he? But I'm just interested in watching that offense and his system adjust in a game to being personnel based differently than it will at any other point.
And special shout out to Ohio State transfer Braxton Beverly and his fight against the NCAA. Lawyer up, sue them, shame them. Win. We are all rooting for you.
Yeah,
Ira Banks' voice.
You just killed it. That's it. Lawyer up. I just want to reiterate though, if you guys haven't seen Braxton's lawyer's resume, it bodes very well, I think, for what he's trying to accomplish
here. He's trying to get eligible. The NCAA has denied his appeal again. So he is trying to get eligible at state this year, as he should be. And the NCAA is allergic to taking EZWs.
The highlight, real quickly, of his lawyer's work, Jim Calhoun, Rick Pitino, Johnny Manziel stayed eligible.
Although I did see immediately some state fans were like, uh-oh, Pitino.
No. But see, here's the thing. Yeah. He won the cases.
Right.
I do think he's also dealing currently with that, perhaps. But
yeah, he is.
But he's got W's in respect to Pitino's work in the past.
And NCAA hates
Calhoun's
court,
impressive.
So.
Manziel's impressive. And he helped get Ted Kapita eligible last season.
Oh, great.
Like, little secret footnote that I don't think we even realized Ted had a lawyer last year.
Good for him.
I didn't know.
I didn't know
on the
either.
List. So surprise, this guy did it.
Lawyer
Maybe he'll
up,
do it again.
We are rooting for you, buddy. So we got it wrong, though. We have to address that. Speaking of keeping receipts and tweets that don't age well, Miami. Miami, okay. I mean, I was wrong. I guess you don't stink. Sorry.
Miami beat Virginia Tech.
Thankfully.
The only quality win they have this season.
Thankfully, Miami's official football Twitter account, which has kept receipts and was displaying them on Saturday night after the game. I guess I was not important enough for them to keep my receipt. So
I didn't know they did this.
Oh, they did. They did. They were outing people. They were like, this tweet did not age well. Tweeting old tweets and everything else. So thankfully, I was not on their radar. But yeah, Miami won. And look, I've said this. I even said this last week. It's in their hands. Like, it's in their hands what kind of season they're going to have. They control their own destiny. So that's, you know, I mean, look, I definitely got it wrong. I thought Virginia Tech would win the game. And they got outclassed and dominated. And Miami looked really impressive. And I am afraid to pick against them now. So I did not. Even though I still think Notre Dame is better than them and should beat them, I'm afraid of them now. I'm officially afraid of them because I don't understand them. Like, I don't get them.
Fans or the team?
The team I don't get. I don't get them.
Yeah, I got into a big argument. Well, you actually got quote tweeted by a friend of mine, Jackson Fuller, who works in Wilmington as a reporter, went to my high school. Mm-hmm. One of my favorite folks, people, friends, as an adult, as a child, ever. Huge, 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 huge Canes fan.
Okay.
Always has been, always will be. He and I got into an argument, and I just was like, look, here's the thing. My argument is that they're not one of the top 10 teams in the nation. I'm going to stand by that. They don't do anything that's that impressive to me except for calls turnovers.
Which,
and all of the stats that exist, and if you guys believe in wins and not stats, I'm fine with you disagreeing with me.
Sure.
All the stats that exist basically say, no, Miami is not that impressive. And that's my argument, and I'm sticking to it. I'm not scared of the Canes fans. Enjoy your wins and stop being angry at those of us who don't think your team's that good. We also got Georgia Tech, Virginia wrong.
Paul Johnson. He let me down, man.
He let you down.
Yeah, he passed like 20 times in a monsoon. I don't understand. He never passes.
He and Larry really are friends, aren't they?
Right? What is that?
That's how we know.
Paul.
That's how we know.
And Bronco Mendenhall backed up the love playing the option talk, so I love that. That was a little trash talk between those two the week before. And Paul Johnson was like, well, I love playing 3-4 defenses. Well, I think Bronco won that argument.
Congrats to Virginia.
And they're in a bowl.
Eligible.
Good for them.
That's how we'll end that.
Now I can't use bowl gifs for my WRLSportsFan.com previews for Virginia anymore, which is somewhat disappointing. But now I'm on to Bronco / horse gifs instead. So that's fine.
It's only a matter of time.
I also got the Panthers wrong. They did not lose. So
yeah, how you feeling?
How am I feeling? Well, the moment that Julio Jones nearly coasted into the end zone untouched, only to drop the pass. I had a lot of. I know Kurt Coleman came up to him and had some words about God because Kurt Coleman's a very spiritual man, legit, and had some words about God and the Lord apparently to say to him. I had some similar words, but I don't think they would have been taken kindly by anyone. So mine involved some swears, and I had to apologize afterwards. So. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I was surprised that they won. It was weird to watch that Falcons team, too, because I could definitely identify what they're sort of going through with that, like, Super Bowl loss hangover, because Lord knows the Panthers look like that a lot of times last year, where you're like, why isn't this team better? And they just weren't. So I could identify with that some, too. And obviously, I felt lucky that Julio dropped the pass, because otherwise, I think the outcome may have been way different.
Mm-hmm.
And I also, like, I don't know if you saw the reaction that Cam Newton had when Ron Rivera on 4th and Inches would not go for it. And he, like, basically, like, threw a fit on the field.
I did not.
Yeah,
I missed that.
And started yelling. Like, I basically had the same exact reaction from my couch at Ron Rivera. So.
Are you just glad that there's someone on the sidelines expressing that same frustration at this
point? Yeah, I was like, because, like, you have 4th and Inches and you have an enormous quarterback. And instead you want to challenge the spot and try to get a 4th down. And then you try to kick a field goal. Like, that is a trash reaction. Just sneak your quarterback and get the 1st down. Or give people money back for the Riverboat t-shirts. No, don't. It was for a good cause. But whatever. Like, you're not on, like, you can't call yourself Riverboat Ron anymore. Like, you no longer are allowed to use that nickname. So, but that was really frustrating. But, I have to take the win. I mean, I can't not take it. It was interesting to watch them in the first game without Kelvin Benjamin. I could see a little bit more, like, what they're trying to do offensively. And that was at least somewhat encouraging, I guess.
Yeah. And that's what you've kind of been waiting for, so.
Yeah, I mean, at least I understood more what they were trying to do. It's really sad to watch Jonathan Stewart right now for me because it's a guy, he's played for my team for a long time, and mm-hmm. Yeah, that was unfortunate. You want to talk about a dude who kind of got mentally, like, I saw his face on the sideline after that second fumble, and I'm like, can we not put him back in for a few plays? Not because, like, I don't like him, but because I'm worried he's just going to fumble again. So, yeah, they're playing the Dolphins this week. That was actually my team I grew up with because there was no Panthers when I was younger.
So my question is, are you afraid of Miami because the Panthers are also playing Miami?
But that's a team.
Like, is it just, like, across...
I'll say this.
Both college and NFL.
That Miami team. Yeah, maybe. Right?
Like, are you
now maybe,
like,
they're plaguing me.
Conceding to Miami?
Oof, it's a good point. I'm not conceding. I actually think, like, if you want to talk about a team that has the propensity to sabotage itself, it's certainly Miami. So if we find a way to lose to them, fan-freaking-tastic. But I will not be happy with it because we should not. So there you go.
Well, I don't know that you are happy with losses that you should take.
I'm not, but I'm not happy after wins sometimes. So, but I mean, I'm okay with where we are right now, I guess. I was also, I loved Cam Newton's.
This is weird. I don't know what to do right now.
Cam Newton's Titanic thing made me the happiest of anything that happened last week, where he said the Titanic still has to go.
Yeah, someone should. I saw some of his teammates were like, we told him not to compare our team to the Titanic. Which, good job.
So,
I think,
like, was he workshopping it?
I think it was Thomas Davis, who
maybe he just didn't
I
watch
believe
disc,
said that they had told him not to.
He just didn't put in disc two. It's a common mistake. He didn't know how it ended.
What is it? In this edition of Great Moments and Cam Newton sounding like a moron history, his Camisms.
It's special.
I mean, they're the gift that
they
just
make
keep
me
on
happy.
Giving.
They make me very happy.
It's fine. I thought it was funny.
It made me laugh. So it gave me a moment of joy.
I think that's my, just to circle back with Cam, because, you know, he's said a lot and done a lot and not said a lot this season.
Sure.
When I first heard his comments about route running, this is the Cam that I remembered. Okay.
The Titanic.
That's why
I
was just like, it's Cam. He says things that you just scratch your head at a lot.
That you're like, what are you? What are you?
Not eloquent, yeah. I think is the best way to phrase it.
Yeah, that's fair.
And uniquely true to him.
Very much so. Yeah, that's why he has his own font. He has his own way of speaking.
That is a good point. So, yeah, Cam Newton thinks his team's the Titanic. Lauren
sometimes agrees with
that. Are you in the water? Are you out of the water at the end if the Panthers are the Titanic? Last question about this team.
I'm in the water.
All right.
Yeah. I'm dead.
Oh, no.
So sorry.
I just needed to know.
Yeah, I'm Jack. I know. That's how it always ends for me. It's fine. I'm used to it.
Let's talk about the top 25
Let's
in college
do that,
football,
please.
Since you like it better than the NFL anyway. You put Miami back at 6, which is where you had them when I started giving you a hard time for that.
Yeah, you want to talk about where they're not playing, somebody who hasn't played anyone. They're above Wisconsin for me.
Yep.
Because Wisconsin has played. Like, Miami has some pretty solid wins, even if they're not spectacular. Wisconsin does not really have those. Like, at least Miami's beaten some teams over 500. Wisconsin, nah. So,
yeah. Whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you've still got them. I mean, you're still given them just a little bit less credit than some teams with one loss, which I will no longer fight you over. Not that I would. Rather... which I'm glad is the case. I get mad when people have the undefeated argument as the argument, as is the case for Wisconsin.
Oh, for
Miami.
Sure. I'm with you.
All of this is pretty, like, we're at the point where there's nothing
flagged?
Too wild.
Did I get flagged?
Yeah, you dropped VT way low.
Yeah. I honestly, for me with them, I am starting to look more and more at who you've played and who you've beaten, right? And West Virginia is a very solid win for them for sure, right? But when you look at everything else. It's not good, and to lose the way they did as well for me.
Yeah, I'm mad at the Hokies.
Lose a close game, and I'm not going to punish you too much, but they didn't, and they were clearly outclassed, and so for me, I had to reflect that in what I did with them.
Maybe beefing with North Carolina is appropriate for them after all. Just kidding. That was a joke. I don't at all mean that. I still think they're better than that. But I am mad that they lost to Miami because I thought
they got dominated.
Like, I thought they were way
they squandered
way
some
better.
Chances for sure, but like they just got outclassed. And
so Lauren dropped Virginia Tech all the way to number 24, which is
Iowa
seven
State has
spots lower
Iowa
than
State
they are.
Iowa State has some better wins, LSU has some better wins, West Virginia has better wins, really. I mean, I know that they beat West Virginia, so you can make that case, but
yeah,
I
think that's probably where it's like,
fair.
Wait a minute, what?
Sure. That's a fair point as well. I really like that West Virginia team, though. They've done some nice things this season.
Iowa, what makes you like Iowa so much? She voted Iowa 20th. They are, in fact, 25th in the nation, per everyone else's voting.
They crushed Ohio State, and they have a win over Iowa State as well. Mm-hmm. So they have some pretty good wins, and they have some close losses to ranked teams. So that's
close losses is where you're crediting them.
Oh yeah, I mean that's where I'm giving them a little bit more credit maybe than some other teams. Yeah, for sure. But to crush Ohio State like that, like yeah, that's pretty impressive.
Everything else is pretty much. I mean, it is what it is at this point.
Yep.
You know, teardrop for no NC State in the top 25.
They came close for me, honestly, but there was a lot.
They will earn their way back in at the end.
I'm with you. They were very close for me, but there was a lot of carnage in the middle there, like from like six to. So rather than drop people completely out, I had to sort of. They were a casualty for me.
Just like shift.
But they stayed in the college football playoff rankings.
All right, that's all we got this week, I think.
Yep. Earn your way back in, State. I know you can do it.
You've been listening to the Topics and Takes podcast with WRALSportsFan.com's Lauren Bronlow and Marilyn Payne. A reminder that you can download this weekly podcast at WRALSportsFan.com, the WRAL Sports Fan app on iTunes or the Google Play stores, or listen on Saturday mornings at 9 on 99.9 The Fan.